Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. Yeah, and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all, a little bit of golf, maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back Rocky.
Let's start the show.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show. This is Tay. Ray, you there?
I'm here. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of sports on the brain. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and like always, it's a Sports Monday. Goodness gracious. Give us a call. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. You'll like to see our NFL picks because it's all breaking down. Kind of nice. It's kind of interesting what Ray and Tay picked for the beginning of the season. Check it out. And then, you know what? Tweet at us. Facebook us, YouTube us. We're making moves. So, Ray, it's mainly an NFL show. We got some NBA stuff. You know, I even have a question about your boy in Cleveland. But I want to ask you this. After what you saw that happened out here last night in the desert, is there much question in your mind that the best team in the NFL is the defending champs from Seattle?
Well, in the beginning of the season, you picked them. So I got to, first of all, give you some props because they look like they're going to get the number one overall seed in the NFC. And what it comes down to, I think, is there's four elite teams in the NFL right now. And I think it's we'll see one tonight, Denver, New England, Green Bay, and Seattle. I think it really comes down, when it all said and done, it comes down to those four teams. Now, anything can happen, and on any given Sunday, anything can happen. But the most complete team and the team with the best defense is the defending champs. I got to tell you, if you're a Seattle fan right now, the season couldn't have played out better. You lost your games early. You're on a roll. You were under the radar screen, and as far as a defending champ can be under the radar screen, San Francisco fell apart, Arizona fell apart, and now you're just ready. If the games go through Seattle, you're probably going to be in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, no. But don't forget about the health. It's like they got their injuries early. And I think sometimes in the NFL, you know, nobody tries to strategically get injured. But if you're going to get injured, you'd rather it happen early and then get healthy. And when Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner came back, this defense 5 weeks ago, it's changed and it's been different. You know, they won five in a row. They had the one hiccup in Kansas City, which was a knuckle-down fight. We all know it's hard to win in Kansas City. But really, I think once they've gotten in a groove and got healthy, and then sort of they had that meeting with Pete Carroll, they traded Harvin, they just seem to, you know, get back to that brotherhood that they have. And I think of four guys. I think of Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Michael Bennett, and I guess five guys, Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. The leaders on this team, Ray, are so defined, pronounced, outstanding, and difference makers because they all work harder than hard. You know, they attack it different ways with charisma and personality. But I think that if you were a coach, a GM, a president, you know, owner, you'd have to be excited about a Russell Wilson and a Earl Thomas and the different guys, beast mode. So what, he doesn't talk to the media? Does he produce on Sundays? Oh, my goodness, Ray. Was that a video game run? Was that Madden last night, that 79-yard touchdown?
Oh, my God. Beast mode. And remember that he wasn't even supposed to play. He had flu-like symptoms. I don't know what he did, if he went to the back, threw some Skittles down, maybe half a bag of Skittles, and just was ready to go. He didn't even start the game. His stomach wasn't right, and he just went beast mode. And they are a formidable team. And you know what? I got to believe that they're the odds-on favorite to win it all. Now, I'm still sticking with my picks because beginning of the year I said Denver, Green Bay, and I'll stick with that. But if you're
good.
A Seattle fan right now, you must be so happy because it looks like all those NFC playoff games are going through Seattle.
Well, and don't you think at the end of the day that's going to be, and it is, the difference, right? I mean, if Arizona or Green Bay had home field, things could be different. You feel bad for Arizona. I felt bad. My oldest son, Elijah, was pretty sad and upset last night. But I told him, you know, look, as many injuries as they've had, and then from the beginning not having Washington and, you know, Darnell Dockett and then Matthew, Ellington, Palmer, I mean, Ray, Dwyer, it's been a mess. And Bruce Arians has done, you know, hands down, he's coach of the year. He's done a yeoman's job for them to, you know, so what, they're not the number one seed. They made the playoffs where last year they were one game short, you know, and let's be honest, we know as it sets up, they could wind up going to the Carolina or Falcons winner and could have a very legitimate shot, Ray, to win a game on the road.
That would be justice because that team that comes out of the NFC South is guaranteed to be under 500. So it's either going to be, what, 7-9 or 7-8-1. So that would be great. Arizona could say to themselves, you know what, we have all these injuries, and yet we still get to play that. Wait, but that team's going to be 4, and if Arizona's 5, then there you go, depending on the Detroit-Green Bay loser, what seed they take.
Exactly. No, I mean, things are lining up in a situation where it's probably going to be 1 Seattle, 2 Green Bay, you know,
Dallas,
3 Dallas, and 4, you know, toss-up. I mean, the Falcons are at home, but if Jonathan Stewart plays like that and the defense and Cam show up, I mean, I we'll talk on our picks about that Friday, but the Panthers can, you know, win just as much as anybody. The way they went to New Orleans 2 weeks ago and won, or 3 weeks ago and won, was impressive. So, you know, they can do it in Atlanta. So, you know, that's really a toss-up game. But, yesterday it was fitting that the Falcons beat the Saints the way they did. They hadn't won in the Superdome for umpteen years.
Superdome!
Drew Brees has had, I mean, we love him. I picked him, goodness gracious, as my MVP. Ray, Drew Brees had a bad season. I mean, statistically.
You know, it's funny because he had a bad season, but if you look statistically,
he's
close to 4,700 yards. He'll probably end up with 5,000 yards, and that team will be 6-10.
Yep, if he throws for
7-9.
Yeah, 339 or 329, he'll get to 5,000
again.
And that's incredible, right? But Rob Ryan had a bad season. Obviously, they had some rough injuries, but everybody does, right? It's been an ugly season for Saints fans. And you know what's so funny? If the Panthers do win it, they break the curse of nobody repeating in that division. And goodness gracious, after all the Panthers have been through this season, it would be a miracle if they made the playoffs because they've been through everything. I mean, you know, right now Cam Newton just thankful to be alive after that accident. And then, you know, the whole Greg Hardy. I mean, their running backs were out every week. They've lost, like, this season. Remember, at some point they went to that guy, Fozzie Bear, Fozzie Whitaker? I mean, come on,
Fozzie,
right?
Bear. You didn't go with Fozzie Bear, did you?
Yo, they've had a rough road, man. So everybody's had injuries. I don't know. I think the other theme and the other thing that I really wanted to ask you about, and this is separate from us talking about the playoffs, and we'll get to the NBA and stuff like that later, but I got to ask you, is your boy Jonathan Pigskin Football, Johnny Cleveland, Johnny NFL, is the game too big and too fast for him? I mean, he, you know, I didn't think the Carolina fans were nice. You know, they were kind of cheering, but you know, I don't know if he can stay healthy and play in this league, right?
Well, that's the look. It was a hamstring, which is interestingly enough, the injury that took him out of the game, because I thought it was much more than that. I'm always worried about his shoulders and, you know, his legs, because he's going to get hit, and he's a little guy. You can't judge a quarterback two games into the season. Just like, you know, we had this problem with Geno Smith. I mean, not to compare Johnny Manziel to Geno Smith, but you got to give a guy, I don't know how many games it is, if it's 15, if it's 20 games, to tell you if he's the real deal. You got to give him a training camp. You got to give him the ability to start the season as the starting quarterback. So,
which he probably will. Would you
that's
say
what
that?
I'm saying. If the game is too fast for Johnny Manziel right now, that's okay. He's coming in three quarters of the way into the season. First two starts, get it under your belt. You know what you have in Brian Hoyer, right? I don't know that there's much upside in Brian Hoyer, but you know what you have.
Well, he'll be somewhere else next year. Hoyer will be. They're not going to come back with both of them. No way, no how. They're going to get a veteran backup, like a Kyle Orton type, to back up Johnny. I would say maybe you get even Mike Vick. You know, he's probably not going to be in New York. Mike Vick is similar to Johnny. Maybe he's the backup. But Johnny, week one and off season, has got to be your starting quarterback. You drafted him in the first round. You've got to give him a chance. If next year nothing happens and you don't see any potential, then maybe you talk about moving on. But you got to give the guy 16 games, right?
And you got to give him a training camp and week one with Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon. And Andrew Hawkins looks like he's a little player. And that running back by committee works out pretty well. So if you gave him all the weapons from the beginning, I think he'll be fine. I still think he'll be a better than average. He'll be a very good quarterback, Johnny Manziel, if he can stay healthy. That I can't guarantee because he's a little guy, right? I'd much rather have Andrew Luck, a big, strong guy, even though he laid an egg this week. We'll talk about that in a sec. Johnny Manziel, I just think that it's way, way too soon to draw conclusions either way. And I'm a Johnny Manziel fan, and I think he'll do great in the NFL, do big things in the NFL. But even if you don't think so, you still have to believe you haven't seen enough. I mean, you can't be writing him off. Even if you don't like him, you still have to give him a shot next year. You got to give him a legit chance to succeed. You can't draft somebody in the first round and not even give him a chance to succeed.
And remember, Manning and Troy Aikman, they both had 3-1 game, you know, seasons where they won. So, you know, Hall of Famers have struggled their first season. So let's be fair. So, Ray, let's talk about what happened Saturday, because that Washington game, to me, I saw some things. Philly's officially eliminated for the playoffs. You know, all the teams are in, except for we're waiting to see the Carolina Falcons winner. So you say goodbye to Chip Kelly and his offense, and Sanchez proved to be who he is. Like, I give you all the credit because you stuck to it. I knew it, right? But I took a sip of the Kool-Aid, Ray. Like, I was like, ooh, is that strawberry or grape? I took a little sip. You know, I didn't get drunk from it, but I did take a sip of the Kool-Aid. And you know what? I don't know if he loves Foles either. I'll say this. I do believe he will try.
Why not? What's wrong with Foles? All Foles did was get injured. What's wrong with
Foles? Wait. Between the two of them, they have the most turnovers in the NFL. I think it's 65 from the quarterback position from the Eagles this year. So it's not like Foles was 27-2 like last year. He had some interceptions and some fumbles. He wasn't as careful with the ball as he was as last year. And I still think he's in love with Mariota, his guy. That's the guy that can run his offense. We'll see. I'm just throwing out my gambler's money, right?
Yeah, but wait. But he must have recruited Mariota, but he didn't actually play with Mariota. Maybe out of his redshirt, he redshirted, but he didn't do big things until he left, and he did it under Helfrich at Oregon. So maybe Helfrich is in his ear, but Mariota.
Mariota was there 1 year with Kelly.
Yeah, but he was a redshirt because they had what's his name Thomas the quarterback. They didn't have him. He didn't have Mariota. Mariota's not in his third year of being the starting quarterback. He's only been the starting quarterback for 2 years at Oregon. So he probably recruited him. He probably knows him from practice and knows his high school tapes and all that stuff. So and Helfrich, Mark Helfrich might be in his ear. So we'll see. Look, I still think Nick Foles did nothing wrong. He had an MVP-like season last year, and so he had a little bit of a sophomore, a little bit of a sophomore slump. But I think Nick Foles is the man in Philly. Why not?
We'll see. But I want to say this: in that game, Robert Griffin III, with DeSean Jackson and their weapons, Ray, I think everything's going to be all right, and RG3 will return, and Jay Gruden and him will work on their marriage. The owner will be happy. The team will get more of an offensive line, and I think they're going to be okay. I really do. I just think he needed to be humbled. He needed to be told, you're not the cat's meow. He needed to be healthy. But I think, like you said, and it's true, and we all know this, he didn't, in college, he ran a spread. He's got to, learn to play from the pocket, and he's still kind of a little guy and not get hurt. But he's got the arm, and he's got the legs and the talent. RG3 is going to be okay, ladies and gentlemen. And they've got
some
players
there.
Should
he send out a text to just relax? Should he take a page from Aaron Rodgers? He shouldn't send any text. He should just go about his business. But
he can't say, wait. He's been going off of Twitter, so he can't say relax yet because he's got no rings. Rodgers got a ring, so he could say relax. What RG3 could say is just chill. Just settle down. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Put a guy on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, give a brother a chance. Remember, I was rookie of the year. He could say that. So, but anyway, big win for the Redskins. Kind of not embarrassed for the Eagles, but gosh, Ray, they can't lose that game, right? I mean, that was not good.
No, they can't. That's a win that they have to get. And I'm disappointed. I thought the Eagles, and I'm a Cowboy fan, and I was scared of the Eagles, and I thought the Eagles were going to take care of business. So I thought the Eagles would win, and I thought the Cowboys would lose. So I was 100% wrong on both of those accounts.
Yes, but how about the other game Saturday night? Two things. Number one, there's a gentleman that we talked about earlier in the season who had 26 carries for 158 yards and a score. Ray, without a doubt, Frank Gore is a Hall of Fame running back, and Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. That performance, and we were texting back and forth, but, even with the three INTs, he showed you through the injuries, the he's a gunslinger. He had no weapons. He's throwing to Gates and guys who have never caught balls before and throws for 358. And, yes, it's not in 14. He's not the same Niners defense, but still on the road against a pretty darn good defense. That was one of the most impressive wins. And I do believe the Chargers, like I predicted, they will get one of those wild card spots, Ray, and they're dangerous. You better watch them. If Allen and Matthews can come back, Watch out for those San Diego Superchargers.
Well, look, those Chargers look – well, I was going to say they look great at times. And then at times, they surprise you and underachieve. And I really – who needs to step up on that team? It's Keenan Allen. Really needs to step up and be a number one receiver and take some of the load off because, Gates is at the end of his career, at least being the elite tight end that he's been the last 5 to 7 years. They don't get consistent enough play at the running back position. I thought this kid Brandon Oliver would give some balance to, an inconsistent Ryan Matthews. But this team, whenever you think they're down, they come back. They're like Freddy Krueger, You can't get rid of them.
Or Jason, right?
Or Jason, exactly. Shout out to all you 80s, Halloween goers, Friday the 13th and Halloween, those two movies that, they kept making sequels and sequels and sequels to.
Listen, you get excited about next week San Diego at Kansas City. You know what I mean? They've got a shot. For the Charger fans, they've got to be happy. They've got a shot. It's tough. It's on the division. It's on the road. If they win it, they will have deserved it and earned it. And, you know, hey, it's going to be fun. What I want to ask you about is what in the heck happened to Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens? And we had it wrong. They went and re-got Case Keenum, who started, and 25-13, the Texans take care of the Ravens. That was an ugly game on Sunday down in Houston, Ray. And your boy Foster's throwing touchdown passes and doing his thing, you know, almost got 100 yards. What did you think about how the Ravens sort of disappeared and Flacco three INTs? You can't do that, Ray.
Yeah, you really can't. And, you know, if he hadn't have won a Super Bowl, I would have been more on top of Flacco. Oh, sorry about that. Sneezing on Joe.
That's but all right. Yeah, 195.
These Ravens are another inconsistent team, right? That's what I'm saying. There aren't enough elite teams in the NFL. I think there's four. And then the rest are just, you know, good teams that on any given Sunday might be able to beat you, but they're not consistent enough to win three, four games and go to the Super Bowl, I don't think.
No, you're right about those four, but I'll mention three others that have a little bit of something that they could maybe pull off an upset, and that's your Cowboys and the Lions.
How about them Cowboys?
And the Lions in the NFC. And in the AFC, I would have said the Colts, but the 1 yard rushing and luck with the interceptions and the defense and the injuries. But I will say, honestly, my Pittsburgh Steelers, the balance that they have, the way that they're playing, I think, you know, the party of four can be interrupted by one of those three teams, Detroit, Dallas, or Pittsburgh. So it's fascinating to play out. The question I have for you, though, as we wrap up this game, though, with Forsett and the whole Ravens, did Ravens Nation, did they blow it? Are they going to, right now they're on the outside at the number seven seed, are they going to miss the playoffs?
Well, you think San Diego's going to make it, right?
I do. The Ravens will probably beat Cleveland next week to put them at 10-6. But if San Diego can beat KC, they'll be in. So we'll see.
And it's funny because the last game of the season is always unpredictable. But the last game of the season played in the division against your bitter division rivals, that makes, you know, for so Baltimore-Cleveland will be real.
Oh, Cleveland can win that game.
Yeah,
Brian
for sure.
Hoyer, like, you know what?
And San Diego KC, right? And KC would like nothing more than to knock San Diego out of the playoffs. So my gut tells me that KC is a better team than Cleveland, and Baltimore might just sneak in.
Really? Okay.
It might just
we'll
do it. That inconsistent Ravens
team
might just win.
We'll predict it on Friday. Yeah, listen, Cleveland's not – you know, fantastic. I mean, obviously, decent game against Carolina. I think they just, you know, couldn't do enough offensively. That's what really hurts them. And Hoyer didn't, you know, play great in the second half either. Panthers won that game 17-13. And we'll talk about that, you know, the Panthers-Falcons. But going through some of the, I mean, is Green Bay okay? Because we talk about them being one of the best four, but I didn't see that last week or this week. 20-3 against Tampa Bay. You know, yeah, it's a good win, but if you watch the game, Rodgers and the team and Jordy and Davante Adams dropping every ball. I mean, Eddie Lacy was refreshing. He seems healthy again. Do you feel that solid about Green Bay right now?
I don't.
Are they
going to
beat Detroit? They're looking a little off to me.
I don't, and they could easily lose that game and lose the division, but I do think they'll win it. I mean, we'll talk about that on Friday. The one thing that Green Bay has, well, they have a few things. First, they have Lambeau Field. So other than Seattle, potentially a lot of the games for them, or at least one, maybe two games will be played through Green Bay. Then they have Aaron Rodgers, and they have a diverse offense. You know, it's funny because they used to have great tight end play. Now the tight end is the weakest position on offense with Corliss and Rodgers. But the Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Eddie Lacy, James Starks combination with Aaron Rodgers, you know, the most accurate quarterback in NFL history in terms of touchdowns to interception ratio. I just think that that's a team that's grizzled and hardened with some playoff experience. And, you know, it's been, what, 3-4 years since they beat your Steelers. But these guys know how to win. So, to me, that's the difference between them and Detroit. Detroit is a team that's just now starting to put it together. They've had a lot of talent the last 2-3 years. That defense is amazing. That offense is – think about this. Matt Stafford, and you could argue they've been winning in spite of Megatron and Matt Stafford. Now, I wouldn't trade them for anything because these guys are phenomenal. But Reggie Bush, Stafford, and Megatron have been underachieving second half of the season, playing – less than their career stats, and yet Detroit has found a way to win and stay in the playoff mix. So Detroit is encouraging.
He's almost been disappointing. And you look at his stats. I mean, even I was checking out on Yahoo. I mean, his quarterbacks, he's like ranked 28. I mean, he's really been struggling. I mean, he's gotten you 4,000 yards, but 19 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. You know, you have some serious questions about him. And the one thing you do know, though, is that if they need to go to war in terms of, you know, having to do something offensively, if the line gives him protection, Tate and Calvin have shown that they are definitely a dynamic duo. So that's what makes them scary to me. But Stafford, it's not his best season. I'm sort of surprised.
No, it's not. And what's disappointing is that he's in the prime of his career. It's like, okay, you got your first – you remember how we talked about Manziel, there are not enough games, there's not enough data points. But Matthew Stafford has been a 5,000-yard passer. He has his Megatron. He has a dynamic combination of running backs, even though that Reggie Bushman hurt. But Reggie Bush and Joique Bell. And you got him Golden Tate. And he's got a couple of – a veteran and then a young wide receiver in Eric Ebron who will – turn out to be okay. So he's got his weapons. He's got his offensive line. You know, they were shaky at times, but, you know, Stafford's a little disappointing. I got to think that as a Detroit fan, you know, you got to slap him around a little bit and be like, look, Matthew, this is our time. We can go win the division. We can host a playoff game. We can go to Seattle, play for the NFC Championship.
That's what's so impressive, though, is that with all that they've sort of been through, Megatron out, Reggie Bush out. The fact is they still are playing for top two seed. So I think Bruce Arians is coach of the year, but I could say that our boy Caldwell, he's going to be up in that voting too, at least top three probably, because I think he's done a yeoman's job with, you know, the injuries, but also making that team play to their potential. And you know what? They're getting healthy at the right time, like the Seahawks, right? Because having Bush and Megatron back and Bell, you know, Bush and Bell is dangerous. That's a great running back combination. So we'll see about Detroit Green Bay. That's going to be a bloodbath. Let me ask you this. Pretty interesting. We'll talk about my Steelers over KC in a second. But, man, I just want to salute and clap. Because the New York Jets went out like warriors. They lost the game that really they should have won. The Patriots, I think, are lucky to still have this number one seed today, winning 17-16. I've never seen a team try so hard, Ray, for a coach and a team. I was proud of the Jets. Nick Folk, oh, man, Geno, that penalty, or when he took the sack. You can't take that sack. And then the 52-yard field goal misses. Geno's got to go. But you know what? I'm telling you now, Rex has got to get a job. Rex is great, and Coughlin is.
Yeah, but is he great as a head coach? Are you going to let him be your head coach, or are you trying to talk him into being your defensive coordinator?
I know how you feel about it. I would have him be a head coach and get a great OC, but I'm not going to be upset if he just goes back to being the defensive coordinator extraordinaire. I think he'd rather do television for a year or two before he takes a defensive coordinator's position. Just my prediction. But either way, Rex Ryan, he's a lifer as a coach. You know what I mean? So I think either way, he'll be there. I think Tom Coughlin will stay. You know, good win. The Rams played a dirty, dirty game, and that was a crazy game. Although, by the way, Odell Beckham Jr., the Pro Bowl announcements come out tomorrow. He might make the Pro Bowl after missing, what, four or five games. This guy's amazing, Ray.
I'm telling you, we talked about this off air, and I tweeted about this. Odell Beckham right now is a top 10 NFL receiver. Maybe top 15, but I would say go top 10.
Oh, easy.
Next year at this time, especially with cats like Andre Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald.
Not being as productive as they used to be, he could.
And a guy like DeSean Jackson, you know, not producing like he used to produce in Philly.
Eight, seven or eight?
He could be in that 5 to 10 slot very easily next year. The Giants have themselves a star. And Victor Cruz, as good as he is, Victor Cruz is playing second fiddle to Odell Beckham.
But that's okay.
That's fine. Victor Cruz's game is okay because Victor Cruz is a slot receiver, and you put Randall and Beckham and on the outside.
And then Vanell, they are going to be nice. They need more offensive line. Maybe they sign Pierre Paul, or maybe they let him go if he wants too much money and bring in two defensive linemen. I mean, who knows? But they've got to make some moves. Last year they signed a ton of free agents, them in Tampa Bay, and it didn't work. But they got to make the right moves, bring in two or three guys, not 22 new guys. But you know what I mean? I think the Giants have got the right, you know, the right stuff. They're going in the right direction in terms of their offensive weapons. The Cowboys have shown it. Every team needs a line. Now, before we get to your Cowboys, because I told you they was going to win, let's talk about my Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, I have to say, should be in the conversation, I think, with 30 touchdowns, 8 interceptions for MVP. Le'Veon Bell, only 63 yards, but a touchdown and 20 carries, is the man. Played great. The Chiefs were fighting and scrappy, but I think the Steelers showed at home they're tough, and overall they're just they're looking like they know how. And just like Mike had called on Friday, no Troy Polamalu, and it was like no problem. You know, he didn't play, and the secondary might have even looked better, but you can't judge it going against the Chiefs wide receivers. But I'm just proud of my Steelers, man. They made the playoffs, and looking like they're gonna beat Cincinnati next week at home, I hope, and win the division. Which is the Sunday night game. NBC was like, we don't want no Panthers-Falcons mess. Let's go with the AFC North battle. Can you blame them?
No. A sub-500 team versus, you know, teams that are fighting for the playoffs and playoff positioning.
And a division title, yeah. So, well, listen, let's talk about it. You know, give my props to the Steelers. You got to love Heath Miller, Antonio Brown. What is it, 122 receptions now, Ray? He had another touchdown, 72 yards. Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver this season. That's another Pro Bowler right there. I think the Steelers will have.
He's Marvin Harrison. He's putting up some Marvin Harrison type.
That's a great analogy. That's exactly who he is. And you know, but also let's not forget to give props to the number two wide receiver in the NFL in yards after the hip injury and missing some games. Your boy Julio Jones, not even 100% yesterday. I mean, they put it to the Saints, 30-14, the Falcons, Matt Ryan in that offense. Julio Jones, Ray, was so impressive. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know words for – what's that?
He is 7 for 107, man, on a damaged hip. That's some stuff right there.
Yeah, he's a real stud. I mean, this guy – has had just a phenomenal season. And like you said, he's been battling injury from really the minute, even when he left college. But he's a gamer. He's a big, strong receiver. He's just amazing. He's
so
top five.
Oh, yeah. He's right there. But it's interesting, right, when we talk about these great receivers, some of the greatest ones, like A.J. Green and Megatron, and even Brandon Marshall didn't have the big traditional great, you know, explosive seasons where Antonio Brown, you know, Julio Jones, Jordy Nelson, Edelman, they had big seasons. So just, you know, interesting. Sometimes, you know, there's other guys that, you know, who's stepping up too is Randall Cobb. He's not the explosive receiver the other guys are, but, you know, big seasons. So your Cowboys, we got to talk about them. I honestly, I am so impressed, and I'm actually happy for all you Cowboy fans. I mean, my Jonas, Tom, Tony, rest in peace, Kwame, you, my boy LeMaine. Like, I mean, Cowboy fans for like ever, you guys have been patient. You've been through people talking so much smack about your team. And you know what? Tony Romo deserves to be with DeMarco Murray in that MVP voting. And you know what? Yeah, the Colts didn't have much to play for, Ray. But 42-7 and what they did to Andrew Luck without T.Y. Hilton, they made the Colts look pitiful. That was disgusting. And if you had Andrew Luck for fantasy, you probably lost your championship.
He ruined you. He took you down.
You're pissed, and you're ready to, you know, go to Indianapolis.
I think in our league, he had, what, a 0.6 or something like that?
I'm ready to shave his beard, yo. I'm going to go shave his beard. Disgusting. But Tony Romo gets the props, yo. Who got the props? Tony Romo got
Romo.
The props. Romo. And it's, look, he only had 218 yards, but that's okay. Four touchdowns. No picks, Ray. That's what it's about. And your boy, hard-hitting Jason Witten, showed up. Oh, man, that was a great win. I think all the Cowboy fans, Jerry Jones was smiling, cheek to cheek, gloating. And I guess from this game, I got to ask you this. Are the Colts going to be one and done in the playoffs? Because they cannot run the rock at all. And they get no pressure on the quarterback.
And you know, like they say, real rock from the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a problem. It really is. Because in the playoffs, you're going to be playing good defenses. And you cannot do what the Colts did last season against the Kansas City Chiefs and come back and win those kind of games on a regular basis. And as good as Andrew Luck is, and I don't know that, other than Aaron Rodgers, I don't know that I would start, even your boy Russell Wilson, we could have this debate another time, but I still think I'd take the big, strong prototype quarterback. And he can run, too. He's got a lot of athletic ability, Andrew Luck.
How could he be there yesterday?
he keeps digging himself into holes and coming back from those. So I don't know you can do that. You can't do that in the postseason, especially if you want to win three or four, depending on your seed, and win a Super Bowl. So he's going to have to be more disciplined, and which is interesting because he's the son of a football, an NFL quarterback, and he makes too many mistakes. He gambles a little too much, and maybe he feels like he has to because there's no running game. But they need to balance out that offense. He's got all the skill position players. They need to figure out that running game because you thought Boom Heron and Trent Richardson, they just can't get it together. But that's not a formula to succeed in the playoffs.
Don't they miss Ahmad Bradshaw. Wow. That was that. Who knew that that would be such a crippling injury, Ray? Because I think they are totally a different team. And remember, when you look at the Colts, they, against good teams, have completely folded this season. It's not, you know, it's not like they lost to bad teams. They lost, their five losses are to all, you know, playoff good teams. I think the Colts will be one and done. They'll wind up 11-5, the 3 seed probably, but they are going to be one and done. I think San Diego or Pittsburgh or Cincinnati could go in there and win a first round game. I really do.
You might be right. You might be right.
You know, it's not going to be, you know, too – it won't be too much of an issue for these guys. So let me ask you this. You know, your boy gets a concussion. So Jay Cutler's starting next week. The Clawson looked good. He got, what, 2 touchdowns, the Forte and the Jeffrey. The Lions won 20-14. Is it Chicago like Washington where maybe everybody needs to calm down and just make it work? Or is it panicking? Or is it let's do this and let's give him the signing bonus and then we can eat some of the money and then trade him? And you know, does
you know what? Chicago has problems. And
Yeah.
It's not a GM slash talent issue. It's, I hate to say it, but I feel like it's a leadership issue. It's a heart. It's a plan through adversity. I don't know exactly where to point the finger, and you never want to point it at one guy, but I feel like the GM there, Angelo, did a good job. And on paper, this was supposed to be next to Denver, you know, one of the most dynamic offenses in the game. And they have the talent, and I'm not even talking about the defensive side of the football, again, because I come back to the fact that Mark Trestman is an offensive guy, and they put all their money in offense. We can talk about defense later.
I don't love the O-line, though. I think
the O-line is improving. Yeah, it was terrible 2 years ago, and now it's average. But there's no reason Jay Cutler should have 19 interceptions.
No.
And 25, 26 turnovers. Again, another guy like Matt Stafford in the prime of his career. And he needs to be more consistent and needs to be more of a leader, and he needs to win. And you know what? If you didn't win that NFC North, that's okay, because Green Bay and Detroit are really good teams. But, gosh, they only won, what, 5 games? I mean, that's terrible. That's embarrassing. You have been given more talent than that. And, again, it's not a GM issue. So I don't know if they're missing a couple of leaders.
But Phil Emery didn't do a great job. I think, you know, you could say maybe Jared Allen and Lamar Houston and Willie Young didn't pan out their signings on defense. I think they got it right in the draft with a young kid, Fuller. Maybe Jennings and Peanut Tillman are a little bit too long in the tooth. I mean, they had injuries. I think the Bears have had some bad injuries, too, to key players who are leaders, you know. So, I don't know what to say.
I'm just looking for signs. But here's the thing. So I agree with everything you said. But if I'm sitting in Chicago going to have a couple of beers in the Cubby Bear right now, thinking about my Cubs, or potentially my White Sox, because we both love what they did in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, all right, when September rolls around and it's football season again, what's there to be encouraged about? Because I have decent talent, but nothing this year showed me that I'm going to be better than Green Bay or better than Detroit next year. You know what I mean? So I'm a little worried if I'm a Chicago fan.
No, I totally agree with you. But you know what's so weird? Like Herm Edwards says on ESPN, if you get rid of Cutler, who's coming through that door? They don't just sell quarterbacks at Kmart, you know?
That's exactly why Eli Manning is going to stay in New York. RG3 is going to stay in Washington. Okay. And Jay Cutler is going to stay in Chicago. The only thing that would be crazy is if they traded one of those three for the other. But other than that, there's nobody better. You're absolutely right. Josh McCown and Brian Hoyer and you know, Achilles Smith isn't going to come back from, retirement.
You know, it's funny because
Sam Bradford isn't going to, you know, even when his shoulder,
listen,
you know,
he
gets healed up.
You know, the Rams have got to figure out what they're going to do.
Sean Hill. You know, none of these guys, Henson, none of these guys are really the answer. So.
This is why I was trying to explain to my wife, because she didn't understand about, you know, it's hard if you don't know the game. There's 32 human beings on earth that are like running NFL teams at the quarterback position, and there's only about 20 to 22 that are really better than average to good. And there's only 4 or 5 that are excellent. You know what I mean? Like it's a rare thing. It's not like there's just quarterbacks hanging out on 95th Street or, you know.
Taking a 90s cab.
Yeah, taking a 90s cab. It's just not around. You know what I'm saying? So.
And that's why they make $20 million a year, because there just aren't that many of them.
Exactly.
And even the ones that look good, even the ones that you thought projected out to be stars, like Colin Kaepernick. Think about how they're struggling. Think about how RG3 was Rookie of the Year, was a shoe-in to be an All-Pro the next year, lead his team to the playoffs. He's struggling.
Did you notice, though, on Saturday night, Kaepernick didn't look too bad, and they finally let him run a little bit, and look what my man did. Goodness gracious.
90 yards up the middle. Woo! Gone.
But if you're a Niners fan, wouldn't that make you crazy and frustrate you? Who do you blame for almost holding the kid back and messing him up so much? Is it Greg Roman? Is it Jim Harbaugh? Do you know what I mean? Because to me, Ray, if he had a little bit of both, scrambled runs and rollouts and, you know, stay in the pocket a little bit, but more design runs or whatever, it might have helped out Gore and Hyde, and it might have helped out him. To me, that could have been two more wins, and it could have been a wild card spot. Like, I
no, I agree. I agree 100%. And here's the problem, though. I don't know that we've seen Colin Kaepernick before. I mean, even the guys that, you know, Dante Culpepper, big, strong guy, but wasn't quite as athletic. Randall Cunningham was athletic, but was a different type of cat than Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick,
Kaepernick's big with speed. And
you know, nobody really had this kind of guy, though. So think about if you're a 50, 60-year-old offensive coordinator, and you've done things a certain way, and now the NFL is changing a little bit, so you're kind of adopting to this, but you've never had a Colin Kaepernick. You've never really had to call plays or mentor a Colin Kaepernick. So what I think he needs more than anything is a quarterback's coach that can get in his head and an offensive coordinator that can take advantage of his talents, because he's one of those guys. He's a stallion, and you just got to figure out what's the best way to – Yeah, I love this guy. I would definitely not be upset as a Niner fan if he's my quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years. So,
oh no,
so
yeah,
screams about trading him, and that's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. You got to put it on the adults who coach. Like Wesley Walker said on our show, remember? He's like, not all coaches really teach you something. You know what I mean? And I thought that was really fascinating. Like, you really need a good coach that's going to actually make you a better player and teach you something that you don't know, that you haven't already learned through Pop Warner, high school, junior high school, and college. So that was, like, an amazing, awesome point because, gosh, you know, you don't think about that, right? But, I mean, it's so true because, honestly, when you look at the – I mean, because he doesn't – it's not like he's got a bad arm. He can make all the throws. He needs a little bit more finesse and a little bit touch. But goodness, Ray, like, oh, man, you know, you'd almost lick your chops. Like, let me make some plays up for him. We'll figure it out, baby.
Yeah, give me a stick. Give me some dirt, and I'll make up some plays for Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, man, listen, I tell you, it's one of – wait, I want to just – I'm just looking this up. I just want to tell you something. When you look pure stats at wide receivers – your boy, Odell Beckham Jr., is in the top, wow, he's in the top, like, six. And he's only played, wait, he's number seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. He's number eight, and he's played, what, 11 games? Oh, man, he might have to be Rookie of the Year. He's got the best stats out of all the rookie receivers. He's above Hilton and Emmanuel Sanders. They've missed some games, Jeffrey. But, Ray, Mike Evans is right there. Him and Benjamin have played pretty well. But Odell Beckham Jr. has come on like gangbusters. And we can definitely say this might be – it's definitely by far the best rookie wide receiver class. And we got another good one coming with Cooper and all the other boys in college now. But – this might not just be the best rookie, this might wide receiver class, one of the best rookie classes in a while. Because I think Trey Mason, some of the defenders, this rookie class has been extremely impressive.
Yes, but it leads you to ask the question, though. You know, the Bills traded up and gave up a lot for Sammy Watkins. Now, Watkins may be in the long run as good as anybody in this rookie class with Odell Beckham and Kelvin Benjamin. But the question is, do you have to trade up and give
Beckham
up so much?
Or Evans or Benjamin.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a fair point. Because the question is, when you project out their careers, how different will they all be? I think that all four of them could be Pro Bowlers year to year. You know, and honestly, you know, Sammy's had his injuries, but Sammy's not. He's not even in the, like, top 25 you know, receivers. He's, you know, he's like 24.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I don't know. Look, let's talk about it tonight. what's going to go down? We got the Bengals who need this win. You know, they if they lose the next two, which is very possible, the Bengals could totally miss the playoffs, and then the Ravens or Chiefs are back in play. Props to the Raiders. They knocked the Bills out. Huge win. Can't believe the Bills lost that game. But props to Derek Carr and Oakland Raiders, and I think, you know, there's some potential for Harbaugh to maybe go there, if not Michigan. Raiders are not so far away when you got a young quarterback like that. But does Peyton Manning need to show a little bit? I mean, like, they've been running the ball a lot, but just for, like, you know, the, you know, you got like a Ferrari, you got to drive it a little bit, Ray. And I think the offense has been a little out of sync, sort of like Green Bay. I think tonight the Broncos, they need to score 38 points. And Peyton needs about 300 yards and two touchdowns, along with C.J. Anderson getting maybe 21 carries, 90 yards. Do you know what I mean? I really believe that they need to do that. Question is, can they against this Bengals defense? I'll say they can. I won't say 38 points, but I'll take the Broncos in Cincinnati. They're like 2-6 in primetime games, the Bengals. They don't shine too good under the bright lights. Your boy Andy Dalton, I don't know. But they'll do okay. But I think that Broncos defense is hungry to prove that they can, you know, shut some people down. I'll take the Broncos 31-20 over the Bengals Monday Night Football.
You said you don't know if they'll score 38. Well, I know they'll score 38. The Broncos are going to do big things. They're going to show people that they're ready to at least play in the AFC Championship game. Peyton Manning is probably chomping at the bit with, what did he have, flu-like symptoms or whatever.
And his thigh hurts.
Feeling great. And yeah, things are hurting. And for the last 2 weeks, it was the C.J. Anderson show, and it was all about running the ball. Now Peyton's like, look, I'm still the sheriff. And I'm still here, and I'm not going anywhere. So I'll throw it to whoever. I'll throw it to Emmanuel Sanders. I'll throw it to the ball boy. I'll throw it to
Thomas better get back.
Yes, he does need his two Thomas brothers to be healthy.
And Wes lost his speed. It's like he's just done overnight. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Maybe, you know. I don't know what he was doing off the field, but maybe that's been impacting him on the field. But Peyton Manning is back. He never went anywhere. He just took a two-week hiatus to remember how to run the ball, to go back Mike Shanahan style and run the football. But Peyton Manning is back. Prime time. Peyton Manning is going to throw for 400. He's going to go for 38, and
okay,
the Bengals will be held to like 20. I'll say 27. 38-27, the Broncos.
Okay, so let's finish strong with some hoops. News of the day, sort of shocking. Nobody really wanted him or showed any trade interest except for the Kings, but your boy Stan Van Gundy had enough, and they waived Josh Smith. This is former All-Star Josh Smith, Atlanta Hawks, fantasy basketball stat stuffer.
I was about to say, he's a fantasy all-star for sure.
Definitely a tweener. And, you know, let's be honest, the Pistons have been extremely disappointing. 5-23. Van Gundy must be disgusted with him. They've tried him at six man. They've tried him starting. It's like it just nothing was working out. He still is owed 2 years, $26 million. The question, couple questions. Does he go play with his friend Dwight Howard in Houston? Do the Kings, Clippers, or Rockets, those are the three teams potentially that might want him. I would say the Thunder and Warriors should think about it. Same with Grizzlies. But where do you think Josh Smith winds up, and can he really help somebody? Or, you know what I mean? Like, will he be humbled enough? Like, where would you measure him at now? Who is
so
he?
So remember when Detroit signed him? I said, that's awful.
Yeah.
It's too much money. He's not that good.
Well, you didn't like him and Jennings together. But you thought it was the bonehead squad. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're right.
And I got to tell you, the kid came out of high school. The kid wanted to shoot threes. they said, all right, relax, you're big, you're long, you're athletic, you can play D, fill the lanes, play a role, and be a better than average NBA player, but he wanted to be a star. And he should be
a more athletic Derek McKee, right? That's what he should do.
Derek McKee, Derek Coleman, he could be any Derek he wants to be. But this kid is so frustrating that, you know where he needs to go? He needs to go, I would say the Clippers potentially, but they have athleticism in the front court. He needs to go to a team that they're not very athletic in the front court. And he needs to be humbled. Exactly, that's my team. I was setting it up for that. The Memphis Grizzlies, a team that, Houston would be interesting too, especially because Terrence Jones is banged up and Dwight Howard gets in foul trouble and he can give him some support, his boy from Atlanta. But I think the Grizzlies, a team that can win a championship, a team that will slap him up a little bit, Zach Randolph will be like, look, man, you got to bring your lunch bucket.
Yeah.
Marc Gasol, you got to bring your lunch bucket. Mike Conley is a veteran now in terms of leadership. Tony Allen's got a ring. Tayshaun Prince has got a ring. So these guys will be like, look, man, who cares what you did in Atlanta and what you did in Detroit, or more importantly, what you didn't do. You're coming here to win, then let's do it. We need you. You're athletic. You're a wing defender. You'll just give us 10, 12 points on offense. You're not going to stop shooting those jumpers. You're going to stop shooting those threes. You're not going to be, an all-star three. You're going to be a tweener, and we're going to get the most out of you on the defensive end, and anything you give us on offense is a bonus. And let's go. Let's go win a championship.
Totally agree. I think Memphis or Houston, he would do well. Two quick things. Goodness gracious, Ray, the Blazers at 22-6 have recently had some big wins. Lillard and Aldridge, not enough props to Matthews, and they're missing Lopez for a bit, so it was a big signing to get Kamen, right, to come in and help. But this team, they could be sneaky good, because I think that Lillard, Matthews, Batum, and Aldridge, 1-4 is just as good as anybody in the league. So I'm really impressed with the Blazers, the number 2 seed in the West. And I got to get your thoughts on, who are these new and improved number 2 seed 19-7 Atlanta Hawks, and who could stop them? They just had a week where they beat Cleveland, Chicago, and Houston on Saturday night. What's up with the Hawks?
You know what? They are very, very impressive. I looked at this team and I'm like, okay, Jeff Teague and Paul Millsap and Al Horford coming back off the injury, and DeMar Carroll, your boy. You love his hair more than anything, don't you?
Kyle Korver is my boy.
Kyle Korver shooting the jumpers.
Selvin Mack, who's the Mack?
And you know what? I look at this team, and this is like an old-school team, right? They don't really have any superstars. Jeff Teague is a good point guard, and Al Horford is an undersized center. He's been playing center his whole career. He's really supposed to be a four. And Paul Millsap is an undersized four, and Carroll and Korver are role players and everything. So, to me, this team is really putting it together like you would prescribe if you didn't have all the talent in the world, right? They're the anti-talent team, They've got good talent, but they don't have, the opposite of Oklahoma City, right, where they've got Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, two of the top 7 players in the NBA, and then hopefully the role players, Serge Ibaka, and then the role players chip in, right? So I give them all the props in the world. Ultimately, I think the Eastern Conference, they'll come back to the pack in the Eastern Conference. I think Toronto's better, Cleveland's better, Chicago's better, Washington is better. So they'll drop. To me, they'll drop to 5th seed maybe, but so far so good. If you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, you know what? You got to be super impressed with this team so far.
Yeah, as we get ready to go, you got to be concerned about Durant, just the health, and maybe did he come back too early. It'll be interesting to see. I still think, we both feel that Oklahoma City will make the playoffs. But, Ray, if he's not going to be healthy, it'll be hard for Westbrook to do it by himself.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, hey, another great show. You know, I think about BYU won that bowl game today. They were balling out, doing their thing. I know it was real high scoring.
We got to talk some college bowls. Don't worry, all you bowls
fanatics
out there. We'll talk some bowls.
Yeah, no,
we'll
definitely
go bowling. Ray and Tay go bowling. We know what we're doing.
We'll go bowling. And listen, I got to tell you, man, I'm really hyped up. Our intern, Adam Marchese, is doing a great job, the young 13-year-old. He wants to join us Friday on the air. He's got an idea for a segment for us. He's a Charger fan, so he's got some bold predictions and, you know, make a couple of NFL picks for Week 17. So check that out on Friday, and we'll be talking some more sports with friends, you know, coming up. Have a good sports week, and a ho-ho-ho, Merry Christmas.
Yes,
and
Merry Christmas to all our fans out there celebrating. Be with your family, and come back and see us on Friday. Talk some sports with us. With a
and
full
Christmas
stomach
Day
and a
game.
Happy heart.
Some good games on Christmas Day in the NBA. That'll be fun.
Yeah, the NBA really stepped it up about 5-6 years ago with their Christmas Day matchups.
You got, what, five or six games between ESPN, ABC, and TNT, and really want to see LeBron James returning to the Miami Heat. And Dwayne Wade said to the media, they need to show gratitude towards LeBron James. We'll see if they do.
They really do. Four NBA finals, two championships. That's fantastic.
It's we're in a nation now where I call it like the 24-hour news Twitter cycle, where nobody's happy and nobody's impressed with anything and nobody's ever satisfied. So Miami Heat fans, be happy and be satisfied. What you did was very rare. When LeBron did. So. All right, man. Let's enjoy some Monday Night Football.
Peace.
Merry Christmas.
Let's go, Cowboys.
When I wake up, I look into the mirror. I can see a clearer vision. I should start living a day, 'cause today's gonna be the day. It's gonna be a day. 'Cause today's gonna be the day.
Yeah, it's like every day I wake up, I stare at the space and don't say much. Period.